reason that this story is going to be on the wise man, we're going to look at Matthew's account and Luke's account, is when we were all sitting around the house being sick the other day, I said, Emma, what should I preach on? And she said, the song Wise Man. And I said, oh yeah, that's a great song that the kids sing about the wise man. And she said, but why? Why? What does the song mean? Why sing that song? And I was like, well, that's a good point. Why? Why was there a wise man and why was there a foolish man? So that's kind of how the lesson's going to be laid out today. We're going to take a look at the wise man, the foolish man. I like to read both of the accounts. I like to think through some of the things that are mentioned in this story. And then we'll kind of wrap up the lesson. It'll be yours for today. So let's read both of these passages. I'm going to read the Matthew account and the Luke's account. For some reason, I've read over the Matthew account several times and I hadn't compared it to the Luke account. I really like Luke's account a little bit better because it adds a little bit more information. But let's look at this parable. Let's look at Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And it says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine, right? Because we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is talking to everybody. So he's got everything laid out. He's talked to everybody. So he's laid out his plan and what's going to happen and what they need to do. So that's in Matthew 7. And then it comes to the end of that chapter and it says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descends, and the floods come, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descend, the floods come, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Okay, let's look at Luke's account in Luke 6, 47 through 49. Now, if you guys have the fill-in-the-blanks, this is where the fill-in-the-blanks are at. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. I like that. I like a little bit of that addition where it says that they dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. So this talks about not even just sand. They just build it without a foundation. Against which the streams beat, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. I love architecture, and I was really thinking about these different pieces and about what this was like. I'm a big fan of Frank Lloyd Wright, and Frank Lloyd Wright built the Imperial Palace in Japan, and he actually built it in a way that it survived one of the biggest earthquakes, and it was all due to the way that he designed the foundation. So we know that there's a lot of information about foundations that can help survive a very bad storm. But when I was thinking of this, about building a house on a rock, having that firm foundation, that very firm foundation, I think of this. I don't know how clear that comes out. But this is House on the Rock. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. This is in Wisconsin. But it's actually built on top of a rock. You can see that there's a rock there. It's actually a very, very, very strange place. But I think of this because I think of how sturdy, because it's got a rock structure. It's built on a rock. It's very sturdy. It was built in a way that it couldn't be impacted. Now, when I was talking about Frank Lloyd Wright, the guy that designed this house was actually made fun of by Frank Lloyd Wright, so it's just kind of funny. But when you think about the rains coming down and the waters coming up against it, that foundation is very strong. It cannot be moved. Then you think about this building a house on sand, or in Luke's account where it just says about a building on the earth. I happen to find this picture of actually an entire housing development that was built pretty much without foundations. All of these houses are falling apart. They're built on sand. They're built with horrible foundations. This is just a picture of one just pretty much falling in. It's cracked. It can't withstand anything. I mean, the house was leaning into. It's falling down. I don't know who the contractor was for this foundation, but it's falling apart. They built it pretty much without a solid foundation, just on earth and sand. Now imagine this was your house, and the rains came up, and the flood water came up. How secure do you think you would feel? How secure do you think you would feel if it rained and it flooded? Doesn't it feel like that house would just fall in or be washed away? Of course, with this parable is setting something up for us. So when I was thinking about Emma's question, well, why? Well, why would you be wise to build on a foundation? Or why did the foolish man not build on a foundation? You know, when we really look at it, it doesn't really have anything to do with actual physical foundations, but it's how God built His church, about how it is a strong foundation. The Word, the church, is on this strong foundation. And it's about doing what God said versus what He said not to do. So I was thinking about this parable, and we kind of have to combine a couple things together in order for it to make sense. We have to think about, well, that foolish man didn't make a very good decision just by building his house. It seems like he just built a house rapidly. He didn't lay a foundation. He just built a house. The rains came. It fell down. That was a very poor decision. That's why I like the Luke account about digging deep. Digging deep to the rock to build up a foundation that it cannot be moved. So let's take a look at a couple foolish decisions. And when I thought of this, I thought of the first foolish decision I thought about was Ananias and Sapphira. Now, I was trying to think through a lot of foolish decisions that people made. We're going to take a look at Ananias and Sapphira. We're going to take a look at a couple other ones. And then we're going to take a look at some wise decisions. And I'm sure that you guys can think of plenty. It seems like the entire Old Testament is filled with people that made bad decisions and good decisions. It seems like the Old Testament is full of the stories that you can think about for any of these type of choices, about making foolish choices or good choices. And of course, they're there for us to look at and learn from. So let's take a look at Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and they kept back a part of the proceeds, his wife being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back a part of the piece of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not yours to control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men rose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him." Doesn't seem like that was a very good decision that Ananias made. However, we see his wife make the same decision. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are here at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men carried her in and found her dead. Carrying her out, buried her with her husband. So great fear came upon the church and upon all those who heard these things. That was not a wise decision to lie to the apostles and to the Holy Spirit. We see this action that had happened. They died instantly and were carried out. That was a very foolish choice to make. Also, when I was just thinking of other decisions that people made and also trying to connect it with the kids' stories, I was thinking of Jonah. When Jonah was first asked to go preach, he didn't do what God asked him to do. In Jonah 1:1-3, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come upon before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish for the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Did he honestly think that he was going to flee from the presence of the Lord? Did he think that he was actually going to get away from this? That was not a very good decision. Now, we see Jonah change his mind after he's in the fish for 3 days. We see him changing his mind and actually then going to Nineveh and preaching. And then we see them turning. And then, of course, he was actually aggravated that God spared them. So we see a couple foolish choices that Jonah made here. However, we do see these things laid out, but he did end up changing his mind. But that was not a good decision to make. So that was a foolish decision because their foundations were not rooted in God. They did not have that strong foundation with God. So let's think about the wise decisions. Let's see, making wise choices. So Noah, Genesis 6:9-12, it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God." So we can see that Noah made great decisions because he walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. So we see that Noah made great decisions because he was considered righteous in the sight of the Lord. So he made the right decisions. So he had that firm foundation rooted in God. Because if we think about making the right decisions, we need to think about making those wise decisions. And I was thinking about that. When thinking about making wise decisions, we can think of Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And since we were talking about wisdom, I thought about Proverbs 2:6. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding," which we would consider to be the word of God. All of this wisdom, the things that we need. Because we know that out of his mouth set up the church and his foundations. And the church was built on a strong foundation. So in Matthew 16:18, it says, when Jesus was talking to Peter here, and it says, "I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So that takes me back to the verses that I read in Matthew and in Luke. It says, "I will build his house upon the rock." The strong foundation on a rock. That is solid foundation. And in 1 Peter 2 and 7, I thought this was interesting. I didn't really have a chance to study this out as much as I wanted. But here in 1 Peter 2 and 7, Peter refers to something that Jesus said, but Jesus is also referring to something that was in Psalms. So it actually goes back several steps, where it talks about this cornerstone. We talk about when you build a strong foundation, we talk about laying a cornerstone, about it being what all of the other weight is on, where that first piece is put down, and then the rest of the structure is built from there. So in 1 Peter 2 and 7, it says, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Again, this was in 1 Peter 2 and 7. Peter is mentioning this here in the letter. It's also what Jesus said in Matthew 21 and 42, but it's also what's in Psalms 118, 22 through 23. I think it's interesting how all that's connected there together. Of course, Jesus is saying that he is the cornerstone. Talk about how they should believe that he's the cornerstone, referring back to the Psalms that when he was talking to the people there, that they should have made that connection there in Matthew 21 and 42. Because there's no other foundation, that he is this strong foundation. So in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, it says, "No other foundation can anyone lay that it is laid with Jesus Christ." So there's no other foundation to build on other than what Jesus has already laid down for us. And in Acts 4, 11 through 12, it says, "He is the stone which was set at naught for you the builders, which was made the head of the corner. And none other is there salvation, for either is there any other name under heaven that is given among men within we must be saved." So we talk about this foundation. Having this strong foundation that is set up. Now, one of the things that I really thought about in this story of the wise man and the foolish man, in both of those cases, there is a storm that comes up. There is a storm that attacks both of these houses. Both the wise man and the foolish man both encounter a storm. The rains came down, the floods came up. The Luke account, it almost seemed like a levee breaks or the streams overflowed, right where you basically have this disaster that happens. But you see, God's foundation is never shaken, never moved. It's firm. But all other foundations are rocked and destroyed. But in each of those accounts, there is a storm. And it talks about weathering the storm. And about how we are, if we have strong foundations, that no matter what that storm brings to us, we would be able to survive it. So let's take a look at this coming storm. I was trying to think of different passages that I could use here. So I used 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 15 to kind of give an idea about like in a coming storm. Now there's plenty of other passages you could probably think of. So if you think of those verses, that's great. I just tried to find one to talk about things coming up that we would have to deal with. And in 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 15, it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions." And it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise We're talking about the wise man. For salvation through faith, which is Jesus Christ. So we know that this storm is coming. If we are doing what God wants us to do, we know that this storm's coming, because it says, for all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecutions. So we know that we will suffer, because we know that this storm is coming. So we have to think about our own foundations. We know that the church is on this strong foundation, that it cannot be moved. But I think about our own foundations. Are we rooted in that? Do we have that strong foundation? Because if we don't have that foundation, we'll temporarily we'll tip over. We'll fall right into the ocean. Right? So again, in Luke 6 and 49, but he who heard this and did nothing is like the man who built a house on earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat, and imminently it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. I've used this picture a couple times in the past. I know it talks about like the ocean eroding and everything, and water's actually getting further and further inland, so this house fell in. But I look at the house next to it, and it's fine. But this one fell over. It would seem to think that the house next to it actually had a different foundation, or was actually set up differently than that house, which just caved and fell in. When I think about this storm that would come up against us, there's a lot of things that we can think of when we think about a storm. On the handout, I kind of just have an idea that says, you know, circle the natural disaster that would concern you the most. We think about these physical storms, these things that could damage things. And I asked Emma, I said, what type of storm would concern you the most? And she said, she's terrified of tornadoes. The thought of a tornado, the sight of a tornado, she said, out of all those things, a tornado would be very frightening. Now, with just in the recent news, we saw where there was high winds in Colorado destroying like 600 plus homes. It was like 100 and some mile an hour wind carried flames, Boulder, Colorado, destroying a lot of things. So a firestorm is actually, there's actually several things that I didn't have listed. That's why I just kind of have that other box. You're right, and depending on where you're from, where you live, you know, a tsunami maybe. Worse for other people, right? Different areas. This disaster, this coming storm, if you have this rooted foundation, no matter what storm it is, it could survive it. Now, God's power is mighty, especially in nature. And these storms are violently crazy. Not only are they, about 2019, I helped clean up some of the tornado that came through Dayton. And these are actually my pictures of me walking around helping people during that tornado. And it was impactful. I felt like I was in a war zone. It hit me a little bit differently than what I thought it would. I thought I was just going to go help clean out some homes, but I mean, there are people that have been barricaded in their house, that we were removing, you know, sheds and other houses that fell on other houses and stuff. I didn't take a whole lot of pictures because I was actually concerned about trying to help everybody, that I didn't really stop to think to take pictures. But I was thinking about that tornado, about how it just ripped through. That storm that ripped through and destroyed all of those things. So we think about the things in our life that would come up against us. But we can think about being rooted in something. Being rooted in something like God, having that firm foundation to withstand that. And again, when I was talking to Emma, she said, oh, well, that reminds me of another song. And I think it's one of Cole's favorite songs, is I Shall Not Be Moved, right? Like a tree planted by the water, right? I shall not be moved. And that comes from Colossians 2, 6 through 7. It says, "As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in with Him thanksgiving." I have this picture of this tree. I don't know if you can see it very well, but it's got roots going everywhere down into the water. When you think of that water being its life source, that tree will be very hard to move because it is strongly rooted right next to its source for life, that water. That we are also to be rooted and to have that strong foundation. So when I was thinking about this lesson today, I was thinking, we have a storm coming. We know it's coming because we've been warned that there's a coming storm. And we think about this foundation. This foundation that has already been set for us. That are we ready for this storm? Now, we don't know when it's coming. We don't know when the end of time is coming. Because in Matthew 24, 42 through 44, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour when the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master's house had known that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you have also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So we know He is coming. Are we ready for the storms of life? Are we prepared? Are we rooted? Are we ready for that storm? Are we going to be like the wise man that had a very firm foundation, that did everything that God wanted us to do, where we had that firm foundation? Are we like the foolish man that did not have a foundation and he just built his house with no foundation? And then when life gets hard, when the rains come down and the storms happen, it just falls apart. We want to have that strong foundation. We think about that strong foundation, we think about being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and to Christ, to be a follower of her, to be a follower of His, that we can also be called Christians. And if you'd like to be baptized or have any prayers for the church, please come forward as we stand and sing.